Freak Treat, The Beverlys, Episode 4, The Beverly Homeschoolers, The Royal Beverly Homeschoolers. I'm Adam. I am currently not drinking a bone broth, but also urine.
But this guy sure is. It is very late at night, and I have eaten my last meal, and I did not want to drink a bone broth, but I got one anyways.
My man, who are you?
Bone broth.
It's Adam and Bone Broth, not Adam and Eve, all right?
I am Steve. Let's cut the, you know, red tape.
No more jokes. You're Steve. That's it. But
oh, that's good bone broth. It goes down warm and smooth.
Fills in all your cracks and cavities.
Should I spike this with some vodka or something?
Well, you are double. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. He is currently double fisting bone broth out of a nice mug and a White Claw in the other hand. So yeah, you should be like, you know, doubling it up. Pour it in, drink it both. I bet it's great. Try it and see how it is.
I will try it. I'm not gonna try it right now because I'm comfy.
What do you mean? All you have to do is pour it into your bone broth.
Oh, pour it into my bone broth?
Yeah.
I want to keep my bone broth pure, actually. Even though I'm the one that definitely brought this up, I refuse to do it.
I can't believe you would tease the audience like that. I fully had your back on this. I was like, man, you should definitely pour your White Claw into your bone broth and just chug it down, see what it does. Just for the listeners, man. We're entertainers now.
The problem is that my bone broth is too salty, and I fear that it's going to go weird with the drink.
Yeah, it's regardless of whether it has salt in it or not, it's going to go weird with it. Bone and White Claw, I don't think, go together, but the fun is you doing it and ruining two perfectly good drinks for the laughs.
I think without the salt, it works.
Well, all right. I guess I'm not going to convince you. Old Guy Fieri on the other end of this mic. I know what. Welcome to Flavortown. I'm not going to take you there, though.
This collagen that I'm getting into my system is allowing me to give the strength of resistance.
You know what the most...
And I resist your suggestion.
You know what the most infuriating part of this scenario that you created is... It's all the same in your belly. It's all going into the same. It's not like you have a different pipe for your White Claw. He's literally drinking them back to back, but he won't pour them in together to drink them. The fun way to do it.
Nope, I will not do it. I'm the Scrooge of drinks.
It was your idea. Why don't you just like Jager bomb it? Why don't you pour that White Claw into a shot glass, drop it into your bone broth, and slam it down?
Not a fan of the Jager bombs.
This guy's never heard of yes and in his entire life. He's a no, I don't wanna type of guy.
Tonight I am. I'm in a bad mood.
That's ridiculous.
It's been a rough night.
He literally said before we started he's in a good mood because the Royal Beverlys put him in a good mood.
I truly did. I was jazzed about this episode. Finally, we get to see Tommy Blaze like really get into his role, I feel.
Yeah, finally we get to see what Tommy Blaze's natural hair looks like.
It's so natural and not monochromatic at all.
No, he's got a natural big pink fluff in the front of his hair, and it looks really good and natural, and I love it.
Do you think he got a bonus for putting pink in his hair? Because that's like the worst thing like true man could ever do.
I mean, I feel like Tommy Blaze wouldn't be that upset about it. But,
no?
Well, I don't know. I feel like, based on the shirts he's wearing and the flamboyancy he's presenting, I think he's probably fine with a little pink in his hair sometimes. That's okay.
You're right. He's from Canada. He's in California.
God, he's 52 years old.
Yeah, he's loving every minute of it. He's a new saved man.
Oh, yeah. Touch that dial, turn me on. You know, that's what he says all the time to people.
He said it off screen a lot. To Miguel? No, Martin.
Martin, yeah. Martin, who is quickly becoming my favorite character. The only character I enjoy on the show is Martin.
Really? You didn't like the new child edition? Mallory or...
Emily. Here's the first note I have written down in all caps. Who the f*** is this Emily? Get out of here.
mumbling like you know something.
I was not impressed. I did not like Emily at all. And if you told me that she was Jamie's real-life sister and made it into the show due to nepotism, I'd go, that's the only thing that explains it. I can't think of any other way to explain this.
I have to believe some person that works on sets had to bring their daughter to work because they got COVID and had to bring it to work.
Of course, yeah. She currently has COVID out the wazoo, even though this was filmed in 2019. She was patient zero. She brought it to set with her cookies and her cupcakes. And, Emily is the neighbor of, well, not like, she's the child of the neighbor of Tommy Beverly, who I guess.
She owns the house next door to Tommy Beverly and his fortune. She got rich off of Bitcoin, I think.
Yeah, I think so. She was like on the cutting edge of Bitcoin. She owns the house, but it's mostly just a server farm. It's just endless servers as far as it's so loud and hot in her house. And that's why she can bake cookies really easily.
That's why she looks like a child. She's actually like 43, but all the heat and all the fans, all the sound programming that went into her bones turned her into a little child.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Tommy Beverly knew her in high school, and that's why he was totally cool with her moving next door, because he was like, oh, yeah, that little, like, yeah, I remember Emily, sure, yeah, move in next, that's great, because he has a say on who lives on his block.
Yeah, he has a seance on who lives on his block all the time.
He is the block captain of the Homeowners Association, and he decides who lives there. And he said, hey, server farm? Lock it in. That sounds great. Hot.
Came out of the womb Bitcoining.
Oh, yeah, that's what she said. That's, you know, she's 42, looks like she's 6, and goes, hey, I came out of the womb Bitcoining.
Yeah, throws peanuts at you.
Oh, yeah, she's rude. She's very rude. She doesn't care if you have allergies. In fact, she'll do it more if you have allergies. She's a beast.
You think that's rude?
To throw peanuts at someone who has allergies? Was it us watching something where someone was eating a bunch of peanuts and they were like, wait a minute, I think I'm allergic to peanuts. What's
that? No, but that is fun.
That is fun, yeah. Pretty sure I said penis as well. I meant to say peanuts, but, you know, the mouth wants what the mouth wants. So what can I say?
It surely does. It's been a long day, and it was a long episode of The Beverlys. You're going to want to think about a penis or two.
I didn't watch this episode at all, for the most part.
For the most part, really?
I mean, it was on. I know that the girls, they can't go to school because Tommy Beverly keeps booking them for shoot times and recording sessions in the middle of the day when they're supposed to be in school, but... So then they got to get homeschooled, I guess.
Yeah. Tommy Blaze is a gamer.
I mean, not according... He could learn a lesson or two from the courageous son, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, very true. It's disheartening looking at Tommy Blaze yelling at a little child.
Yeah, threatening to just, like, come and kill him, he says. I'm going to come to your house and kill you, child. He's like, wow, that's a lot. Hey... are you going to chug the rest of that White Claw at least?
I chugged the bone broth. It's gone, baby.
All right, well, slam that White Claw then. You got to chase it with that whole rest of the White Claw.
Nah, I'm not a chugger. I won't do it. You know what I could do is just lie and say I'm doing it.
I don't care.
And then not do it.
Nah, it's not fun if you do that. It's fun when you do it. It's not fun when you lie. That's all.
That's true, and we're very holy men, and we do not lie, especially on pod.
Especially not about our names, or where we live, or anything about us.
Well, we do lie about all those things, but Pubes in Heaven is real.
Of course it is. Look for that charting on the Billboard charts next week when Eric Clapton is killed.
Well, he has to die first. You're saying next week?
I just have like this, I don't know, intuition, if you will, that Eric Clapton is going to die next week. I'm calling my shot. Is that illegal? Or is this saying this illegal? I don't think so. Saying that Eric Clapton is going to die next week? I don't think that's illegal.
I think you can say all those things, but you can't say call my shot. That's where it gets into the illit. Illegalities.
Right. What if I said I'm the great Bambino and I'm pointing at the calendar with my bat at the day that Eric Clapton's gonna die? Can I say that?
I don't know if you can. His people might go after you, but I think we should have a pool going, like where you can select, sell dates.
Yeah.
And people can buy when Eric Clapton's going to die.
Should we start a website that is just exclusively betting on when Eric Clapton's going to die?
Maybe. It'll definitely bring us some heat. TMZ will get on it.
Hey, man, no, all news is good news, you know? There's no such thing as bad publicity, and all of it is good for us, including Eric Clapton death pool that we're going to be launching. Look for it on the blockchain, coming soon.
EricClaptonDeathpool.com. Mm-hmm. It's probably available.
It's only available on Web 3.0, but it's on the blockchain, so we own it.
And if it's not available or something weird comes up, just check out .net or .info, because it's going to be one of those three.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to be EricClaptonDeathpool.gay.
.gay.
Yep. You can get it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's certainly not the worst.
It might be the worst thing we do morally throughout our entire lives, but like entertainment wise, it's up there.
Hey, Entertainment Tonight is going to be knocking on our door. And they go,
hopefully.
How do we buy in? How do we want to put $1 million down on March 11th? We'll go, all right.
Here's a chest full of money.
Man, it's
how do we buy in?
You're just collecting money at that point. It's just rolling in. You don't even have to pay it out to most of the one person you have to pay it out to, but you're just collecting buku bucks on all of those dates. And the guy who wins, it's gonna bet like a buck or something. So you're like, yeah, here's $5. Thanks for winning this thing, idiot.
Yeah. Okay, $10 a square, and we give $50 to the winner.
Yeah, $10 a square. Every date for the rest of time is on that calendar. So you can just pick anything you want. $10, though. Oh, hey, that's a great idea. And then the winner gets 50. That's a fair trade. We're only going to sell 4 dates, and you and I are going to have bought 2 of them. So no one's going to win.
$50 gift card, so it's not illegal. We're not, like, giving cash to anybody.
No, something stupid
like that.
Nah, we're giving them a Sephora, $50 Sephora gift card. That's nice.
Or Wayfair. We'll give them a choice. Maybe gas.
I like Wayfair. I think that's good. A $50 Wayfair gift card. That's going to get them a long ways on there. Maybe they get a nice throw pillow or something. But shipping, they're going to have to pay for on their own. We're not paying for shipping.
Yeah, we will make sure that gift card doesn't work for shipping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll make sure that it's a small enough amount that they're going to have to pay a little bit for what they buy, plus shipping on top of that.
And we gotta get a nut from Wayfair if we're giving them this free advertising.
Free publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Even being affiliated with the Eric Clapton death pool. That's like, everybody loves that. Who wouldn't want to get on board?
Yeah, Wayfair presents EricClaptonDeathpool.gay.
Yep. Wait, that's the address. Wayfair presents EricClaptonDeathpool.gay. And that's, you type that into your browser and it'll take you right there. Buy your square for $10 and then we'll use the money to buy a plane ticket out to Los Angeles to meet David Ayer White so we can get shot in Beckman 2.
We might be able to buy Beckman 2 at that rate.
Imagine if we made so much money off of Wayfair Presents EricClaptonDeathpool.gay that we like buy a huge voting share in Pureflix. Like, we invest in Pureflix and get on the board of directors because we own so many shares. Oh
man, tears in heaven.
Oh my god. Yeah, and that's the thing. On the day that Eric Clapton dies and we pay out that $50. Oh no, I got it.
Okay, give it to me.
There's no cash prize. The Wayfair will still sponsor us, and we're just going to lie and say they're going to get a gift card from there, but we're not actually going to get them a gift card from there. What we're going to do instead is, much like the Wu-Tang Clan, we're going to produce one copy of Pubes in Heaven, and there's going to be a large contract they have to sign, and when Eric Clapton dies, they get sole rights to Pubes in Heaven. It's not an NFT. It's going to be something different. It's going to be a nice CD in a nice chest, filled with pubes, and then that's the grand prize.
Maybe it should be an NFT.
I mean, maybe anything could be.
Yeah.
Like, could Wayfair Presents Eric Clapton Deathpool.gay be an NFT? Could we just sell that as it? I think so.
Yeah, but people are gonna want Pubes in Heaven.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of it. they want it. And so we're going to make them wait, because whoever wins the Eric Clapton Death Pool presented by Wayfair is legally contracted. They can't play it for anyone else for 50 years, long after we're dead. Then Pubes in Heaven comes out, and boom, we're like Leonardo da Vinci, an artist not appreciated in our time, much like da Vinci was.
I might still throw in a Payless Shoes gift card or something.
Sure, yeah, get some nice, I don't know, Tommies? Is that a shoe?
Crocs.
Crocs. Birds.
Birds on them.
Toms, that's what I was thinking of. Hey, then everybody wins. They get Toms. Those kids get yoga mats or whatever the hell Toms does for people. I don't know. Something. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, you get the award for knowing the death of Eric Clapton. So yeah. That's cool.
We'll send you a little badge that says, I successfully predicted Eric Clapton's death. That's the NFT. It's just a picture that says that. And you can use that as your Twitter profile. And so whenever anyone sees your tweets, they go, wow, this guy predicted when Eric Clapton was going to die. That's pretty amazing.
And if he freezes himself and technically doesn't die, we win, you lose.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm also down for selling dates all the way up to like 2562. Like, I'm fine with selling. Like, the calendar is wide open. You pick any date from present day into the future. You might hit it.
Oh, you definitely might with technology advancements and the high income that he's earned over his lifetime. It's not crazy to think that he could live 3,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So pick a date in 2555.
Yeah, all the royalties from Pubes in Heaven he's going to get. Oh, my goodness gracious.
All of them.
He'll have them all. We're not going to make any money off Pubes in Heaven. It's all going to the Clapton estate. That way they can't really sue us, right?
Yeah, but we're going to be raking it in with this
yeah,
pool.
Yeah, the death pool, for sure. Because that's the thing. We're going to give them the rights to it, and they're going to go, oh, what a bargain. We're going to just milk these suckers for all they're worth with Pubes in Heaven. But then we produce one copy, and it's a secret copy that only the winner of the death pool gets. Gotcha, Clapton Estate. In your face again.
Yeah. In your face. We wiggled and dinked you hard.
Yeah. You call that a classic wiggle and dinkin', that's for sure. My favorite president.
This is the perfect plan. I think God's going to bless it. It's going to be blessed by God.
I agree. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do a big ceremony where a priest, David Airwhite, dressed as a priest, splashes water or whatever on the CD. And they go, oh, God, don't do that. Oh, my God. You're going to wreck it. Maybe
it'll be a fake. It'll be a joke. We'll ha ha ha.
Yeah, we'll all have a laugh. Then we'll put the real one out, and he'll splash vinegar on that one. And they'll go, that's even worse. Don't put vinegar on it.
Vinegar? At a time like this?
Who can afford it?
What I liked about this episode is that Martin is going to get a Ferrari.
The most important revelation of this episode, for sure.
The best part of this episode. The only thing that needs talking about, really.
Truly, yeah. We're not going to spend any more time talking about Emily. We are going to talk about
Martin's.
Well,
Emily's dead.
To us, certainly, yeah. And just doesn't know, don't turn your back to the camera when you walk into the scene. It's a single camera sitcom. Don't put your back to the only camera. No stage awareness.
Don't stare all over the place. Every place that you're supposed to not look. truly one of the worst performances of all time.
Yeah. Looks at her mark. Sure. Looks at her mark as she walks in and you go, this is the worst cinematic experience I've ever had.
Anything projected onto a TV has been so much better than this moment. A moment like this.
Oh, a moment like piss. When... Yeah. What would you say is the worst cinematic experience you've ever had? Real talk.
I don't know. Did it happen during this podcast?
No. I'm asking, like, if you went to the, what's your worst time going to the movie theater?
I don't know. I couldn't clock it. I don't have a memory for it. I've come out pretty good, other than people talking in front of me or having to pee.
Right.
You know, the age old tales. I got a lot of blowies in the cinema, so I'm living large.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that you've gotten a lot of blowies in the cinema. I don't believe you. I don't believe anyone's gotten a blowie in the cinema, to be honest.
I don't think so either, right? Like, It's like, just a bad place to get or give a blowy.
Oh, yeah. It's high risk, no reward. Well, I mean, for you, yes. Definite reward. Yeah, But for the person giving it, no reward. Also, like, the people, there's people behind you. They're going to see a head go into someone's lap. Like, that. How do you hide that? It's, I don't know. Yeah, unless you loudly
well, then
go,
you shake the seat, right?
Right, you kick them. You kick the back of their head as hard as you can.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only way to cover for it is if you go loudly go, "Oh, I dropped my bag of popcorn on the floor," and then the other person goes, "I'll get it for you," and then they down they go.
Man, you must have a big peener if girls have to go. Oh.
Yeah, they gotta like go up to get down, essentially.
That's what that song's about, hey?
Exactly. Also, I can't imagine a movie where I'd go like, "This would be better if I was getting a blowy." Like, I can't imagine. Like, what movie?
Jackass 4?
Jackass Forever, of course. Ah, I wish I was getting topped off while Wee Man gets kicked himself in the head again or whatever happens in that movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, you can like hit a stranger. "Hey, buddy, don't you wish you were getting a blowy right now?"
Hey,
that'd
listeners,
be fun.
Listeners, now that theaters are opening up and we can go back to the movies again, it's totally safe to go back to the movies. The first movie you go to, just nudge the guy next to you and in the middle of the movie and go, "Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt the movie, but wouldn't this be better if you were getting a blowy right now?" And just look him in the eye when you say it and just see what happens.
Yeah, and if he gives you a look, just give him a look right back like he's the crazy one.
Exactly, and go like, "This is, you're the one having the problem here. I don't have a problem with this scenario. You're the one making it weird, not me."
Yeah, I'm just a dude talking to a dude who hopefully also believes in God and about blowies, you know?
Yeah, of course. And hey, best case scenario, you get a blowy out of it. That's pretty good. If he takes it as like, "Oh, you're opening the door for me. Oh, well then, please, well, let's go," right?
Well, hopefully he doesn't have all his teeth. And I think that's good for this episode.
This guy is the opposite of Obi Trice. Hopefully he's got no teeth, you know?
Yeah, too many teeth on Obi Trice to get a blowy.
Of course, it's dark, you're going to knock him out.
I'll have a conversation with him, but I'm not going to get blown by Obi Trice.
No, God, no. I might go to his dentist and go, "Hey, how do you get so many teeth in his mouth? Can you put some more in mine, please?" They go, "Yeah, sure. How many do you want? Like rows, like a shark?"
You could have so many death pools.
Hey, when you said that's probably enough for this episode, what did you mean by that?
You know, like the episode could be done.
Why? We have so much time left.
How much?
Like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm gonna cut that out because I don't like the energy you brought to that moment, so I'm gonna cut that out.
I heard great laughter when I said it, but you weren't laughing at that.
No, I was laughing at something in my own head.
Yeah. Which is exactly what we do when anybody else is talking during this podcast, is we think about what we've said and laugh internally.
Exactly. Someone asked me, they're like, "Oh, what kind of podcast do you listen to?" And I was like, "I listen to my podcast." And they were like, "Why?" And I was like, "Because it's my sense of humor. It's what I find funny. Why would I roll the dice on something else? I already know that this is a funny show to me, so I'm going to listen to the show I like."
10 words. Pubes in heaven.
Mm-hmm. What are the other 7?
Probably pubes in heaven, pubes in heaven.
Pubes.
Whoa!
Oh, sure. Whoa, yeah. That's good, too. Yeah.
Yeah, what was the last one?
What if it starts with whoa? Whoa! Pubes in heaven, pubes in heaven, pubes in heaven.
I crashed into the wall. I'm just going to say that inside, though.
Of course, yeah. Whoa! Found pubes in my mouth. And then they go, "Oh, were you at the movies?" Hey. Are you a quitter, Jamie? Yes, I am a quitter. Oh, okay. Well, done and done.
You know what they did do in this episode? They quit all over the place because there is no live performance.
I was so choked because they briefly mentioned at the start that they're doing a live stream. So I was like, okay, great. We're going to see a nice performance for the live stream. And then at the end of the episode, they go, "That was a great live stream." I go, "Well, what? Show us the thing.
The whole premise of the show is to have a girl group, and at the end of the episode, you do a little dance and you do a little number, and you get everybody all riled up.
Yeah, you dance for Tommy Blaze, and then you call cut.
Camera, live performance, I don't give a darn. Show it to me.
Just show it to me. That's what we're paying for, is for the a performance by the Royal Beverleys. I just don't think they could write a song. I think that, like, they wrote three songs and went, how many episodes do we have to do? Oh, we don't have enough songs for that. We'll front load them, and then people will have dropped off by then. They won't notice that there's no more songs.
Oh, people are dropping off for sure. Do you think there's not going to be, like, another performance on screen then?
I think maybe they wrote four songs, because the finale will have a song, I'm sure.
I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe that they, like, set it up that they were going to a live performance and then cut away and then had those girls have the gall to be like, oh, well, that was a great live performance.
Yeah, that was maybe our best performance ever. I sure wish people would have seen it.
That's going to take us to the top. I already love it.
Pharrell is on the phone. I already love it. Puff Daddy's calling. He wants to produce our next album. Say no to that one.
Oh, say no. Yeah, say no forever. That's a good song.
Say no forever. Yeah, for sure. It's a beauty.
Well, it's a good Beverly's title, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Beverly's Say No Forever.
Yeah, they could have been the new hit. Also, the new rule, the rule number four, is absolute garbage.
What do you mean?
It's not even heavenly.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, it's heavenly in the sense that the one girl read about it in her faith studies in the morning, I guess.
Yeah, but that was just a teacher who didn't want to listen to the kids anymore. Well, yeah. 'Cause the rule is basically shut up.
Yeah, the rule is don't assume you know everything. There are people in your life that are much wiser than you. Yeah. I guess you could say that to a kid, but not to an adult.
Like, older people. All older people know more than you, so shut up and get homeschooled.
Yeah, I mean, I do love that they're like, homeschooling is so much better than going to school, as they look right into the camera. You go, okay, I guess know your audience. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, weird Christian messaging. I guess a lot of PureFlix viewers are probably homeschooled.
Yeah, all of them, including you and I. All those memories you have of school, that's your backyard, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Now that you mention it, it is my backyard. That time I got pantsed and pushed in a snowbank. That was by my dad in the backyard.
Well, you gotta have life experiences at home. And that's just one of those experiences that you're gonna have at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I say pantsed, I mean I was wearing tearaway pants and someone ripped my tearaway pants off and then someone pushed me into a snowbank.
I got pantsed by mud in elementary school. I just decided to walk through a mud pile and I got stuck and somehow I lost my pants.
Is that what you told the police last week when you were walking through elementary school mud piles?
Yeah, not much happened in my small town, so the police were definitely there.
Oh, yeah, guns drawn. They got the shotgun out of the trunk. Wait.
Well, when you're a little kid, you're scared of everything, and that day I had reason to be scared because they were going to take me out.
Hey, man, one time I was riding my bike, and I was going down a little pathway in between two houses, and there was a dog barking in the yard next to me behind a fence. I couldn't see the dog, but it was barking so loud I got so scared I couldn't ride my bike. I had to, like, call for help. I was like, help! And then my dad came, and he was like, what's going on? I'm like, this dog is barking too loud. And he's like, oh, okay.
He pantsed you and pushed you over, eh?
Rightfully so, yeah. I don't know. I had no business riding a bike in the wintertime, but certainly, yeah.
So you have no concrete evidence that this wasn't a tape recorder of a dog?
No, I don't. I don't have any evidence that it wasn't just a kid going, oof, oof, oof. I can't even prove that it was a dog. Again, it was behind a wooden fence, so I could not see this dog, but it was scaring me.
And muffled from the wood, so it definitely could have been just a man woofing at you.
Yeah, it could have been my dad. I don't know. Maybe my dad yeah, snuck in their yard and was pranking me. What a wily
guy.
Yeah,
it was a prank.
That's what he said. He comes, pops his head up and goes, no, son, that was just a prank. How did you lose your pants in the mud puddle?
I don't know. Like, the memory is clear as day. that I had like rubber boots on.
Sure.
I got stuck in the mud.
Sure.
And then the memory flashes forward to my pants being taken away and me having to wear like somebody else's pants in the Lost and Found.
Oh.
And it was terrible.
Oh. Is there anything more disgusting than wearing something out of the school Lost and Found? That's rock bottom for most kids.
Yeah, exactly. Just like dust off the mud on my pants. How deep did I go in this mud pile?
Truly, like, I can't imagine an amount of mud. Like, I guess if it was like a lot, like if you had mud, if you were tracking mud around, then okay, fine.
Yeah.
Take off this little boy's pants and make him put on different pants. But if you're just, if it's a bit of mud, whatever, wipe it off. Lazy teachers. Yeah.
Oh man, how deep was the mud? And was the mud created artificially by the faculty?
Was this a prank?
On kids. Kid kind.
Of course. Yeah, all the teachers gathered around the mud puddle and sang, "How deep is the mud?" And it was a beautiful moment as your pants came off and they had to put on different pants.
I remember crying. I definitely cried a lot.
Yeah. Hey, man, I cried when I got pushed in the snowbank, too. Yeah, and I was in grade, like, 7 or 8. Like, I was too old to be crying about that, but it was a shameful prank.
It's fun to cry, though. Have a good cry, everybody out there.
Hey, everyone, if you take anything away from this episode, it's have a good cry.
Also, Wayfair presents Eric Clapton, Deathpool, .gay.
.gay.
Coming out.
That's the tagline for it. It's coming out.
Get your date. What, $10 a square? Should we just make it 5?
Not 10. That's a nice even round number. Then the math is easier.
But if I'm some turd buying a, you know, a date for an Eric Clapton Deathpool
right.
sponsored by Wayfair.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to spend 5, not 10.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to be selling so many of these. Let's just make it $1.
I think $1's bullcrap money, you know? Like, somebody sees $1 and thinks it's a joke.
Beverly.
Right in the middle.
I think that's
a real, honest business.
No, I think that's about good. I think that's about enough for the show.
Okay.